Let's get right into the Word of God. It's already been prayed over. So I pray and trust that you, on your way, did not fight with your families and were actually preparing your hearts to receive whatever it is that God has. So, and that's my prayer for each and every one of you, because I know that when we were growing up or when we had little kids and we were coming to church, it was always just this serene time in the car. And everyone was just kumbaya on the way in. And right. So we're going to get into the Word of God today. And we're continuing our study on in Proverbs. And Proverbs 1, verses 1 through 3, explains what it's all about. And it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, and doing what is right and just and fair." This is a compilation of letters, a lot of them credited to Solomon himself, who was considered one of the wisest men to ever live because of grace that was given to him by God. And there are also one or two, I believe there's two other chapters that are credited to a certain person. But for the most part, they are the songs of Solomon that were compiled by him and his writers and scribes and given to us as instruction. And even though this is in the Old Testament, there's a lot of things in here. In fact, all of these things still pertain to us today. There's still things that we can implement into our lives that will give us blessings from God as we walk in obedience to his ways. So that is what it is about. So we're in chapter 4 of Proverbs. If you have your Bibles with you, let's open to that. If you have your iPhone or whatever it is that you look into, and if you don't have your Bible, shame on you. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. It says, "The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day." The path of the righteous is like the morning sun. And we're going to look in Psalms chapter 119, verse 105. It says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." And I was thinking of this scripture, thinking about the Word, the Word of God, the instruction of God, the commands, the statutes, the decrees that he has given us to live our lives. And it says that it is a lamp unto our feet. And I don't know if you've ever walked around in the dark somewhere where you're unfamiliar with the territory. It's kind of unnerving. And I remembered a story that Belinda's dad told me years ago. And I couldn't quite remember how it went. So I called him yesterday. And I says, "Do you remember that story you told me about walking in Africa?" Because he was raised in Africa. His parents were missionaries in Zimbabwe for 38 years. So they lived out in the savannah of Africa. And you would walk from small village to small village, preaching the Word of God, helping them build things, just doing certain things. But they didn't have a vehicle to travel. You walked. And between every village, there was a path that he described as about 6 to 8 inches wide, enough for one person to walk. And that path was well-worn between the villages. And whenever they went to a village, they tried to make it back before dark, because that's when all the creepy crawlies and the big animals come out to eat. And that path between these between these little towns was well worn, and so the sun would bake that. It was like concrete, and the sun would bake on that all day long. But if you walked off of the path, it was kind of like a sandy dirt. So that area would cool off a lot quicker at night than the path would. So the path was quite a few degrees warmer. Well, they had these things in Africa that are called African puff adders. It's a snake. Yeah. And so he was telling me about these snakes. And they're a little bit shorter, but they're fatter. They don't look like the streamlined snakes that you usually see. They're thicker in girth. And when they came out at night, they would go onto the paths, and they would stretch themselves out in a long line. And he said they looked like sticks because they were fatter in the middle. They didn't look like a snake right at first. Well, the African puff adder is not the most venomous snake in Africa, but it is the deadliest snake in Africa. Because of the sheer numbers of the puff adder, they're everywhere, so they cause a lot more deaths than even the black mamba, which is really fun to say. And if you've seen Megamind, it's awesome. But these snakes have the quickest strike of any snake. They can strike to the side or to the front within a quarter of a second. So as you're walking along the path at night, he described it as it's one path, 6 to 8 inches wide, and his father would carry a kerosene lamp. That's all they had for light. And that kerosene lamp had a hood on it, so it gave off one little circle of light, and it was right in front of the person walking in the front. And so as the kids followed, their instruction was, you walk right behind me, in my steps, because you couldn't see. So you had to be tucked right up next to the person that was carrying the lamp. And only that person could see what was ahead. And his father says, you do not stray a little bit to the left or to the right. You walk right here and you stay tucked up behind me because of these snakes. And it gave a perfect picture of the lamp lighting the way. And God allows us to see basically the next step. Or if we stay tucked in next to him, we're safe. He leads the way. And I don't know about you, if you ever had toddlers, they have a tendency to wander. Am I right? You just go into Walmart and it's like, do you belong to somebody? Is there... But they do. They just kind of, you know, they see something shiny and they're just like, you know, mom and dad are over here, and they're just kind of... But in that scenario, you couldn't do that. You had to stay tucked up underneath the lead person, and you had to trust them that they were going in the right direction. Because you couldn't see. And it's a perfect picture of the word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. It is the light that gives us the ability to walk along the path that is life. And when we stray from that word, there is no more light. There isn't any more light. And Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19, the next verse. It says, but the way of the wicked is like deep darkness, and they do not know what makes them stumble. I have so many people come to me and say, Pastor Jim, my life is a mess. I don't understand why my life is a mess, but here's what's going on. And they just go into this entire story. And you look at it and go, everything that you've described to me is completely 100% against God's will. It goes against his word. You're doing these things, yet you're expecting God to bless you. You're stumbling along in the darkness, and you don't know why. It says here, they don't even know what makes them stumble. Why? Because you're in the dark. You can't see it. When we don't walk according to the word, we walk in darkness. And I don't know about you, I don't like it. One time I was in Priest Lake, and we were camping. And if you've ever camped up there, we were at Luby Bay. There's not a whole lot of lights out there. And when you get away from the campfire, it's dark. Really, really dark. And we needed a little bit more wood for the campfire. So it's like, oh yeah, I saw this log just like 30 yards down the path. I'll just go grab it. And I walked, started walking away, and then I got about 15 feet away from that camp. I couldn't see anything. And being not the brightest person, I didn't have my flashlight with me. And I thought, well, I saw it. I know pretty much where it's at. And so I just kept walking in the dark. And each step I took was more and more terrifying. And I swear that Randy went around and shook a bush. I know he did. And I heard that, and I looked towards it, and I couldn't see anything, and I said, you know what? It's time to get back to the light. Yep. I didn't know what it was. I'm pretty sure it was Randy. And I don't know. He's very fast, because when I got back to the campfire, he was already sitting down again. But to walk in darkness, pitch black, is terrifying. Yet we have so many people who call themselves Christians who are walking in their own way, in their own path, stumbling, beat up, bruised up by the circumstances of life and the consequences of poor choices, and shaking their fist at God. God, why aren't you here? I don't feel your presence here. I don't understand why you let this happen. You're walking in darkness. And the thing is, a lot of people don't even realize they're walking in darkness, because they've really, truly never walked in the light. When you've walked in the light and you go back and try to walk in the darkness, it's not good. And I remember back to when I was in darkness and I didn't know him. I thought everything was great. Had my bumps, had my bruises, had my learned a hard lesson this way, learned a hard lesson that way, but I didn't know any different. And when I began to walk in the light, it's like, you know, it's really nice. My path is illuminated. I can see where I'm going when I'm walking in the light. In John 8:12, it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. It doesn't say, but whoever walks alongside of me, or whoever walks out in front of me. It says, whoever follows me. And I looked up the word in the Greek, and I'll try not to butcher it too bad. But the word follow there is exakoluthēo. Exakoluthēo. I don't understand how the Greeks even talk to one another with all of their words. But it actually means to tread in one's steps. It means that Jesus has already walked this way, and we are to be tucked in behind him, walking in not the general direction that he was going, but to tread in his steps. I don't know if you ever walked through deep snow. It's not fun. If you're walking with a group of people and you're the one out in the front and you're stepping up to here, it's hard work. But if you're behind someone else who is already stepping in that snow, it's much easier. And you kind of go, okay, yep, there, and you get in a rhythm. But if you get mixed up, it's a mess. But you try to step in the person's footprints who went ahead of you. That's the exact picture that this word portrays. We are to tread in the exact steps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's nothing in here that says, well, you know, all these different roads lead in the same direction. According to this verse, that is not true. Well, you know, there's a lot of different religions that'll all lead in the same, to the same place. Eventually, we're all going the same direction, and we're all going to meet up in the same place. And this says, no, you're not. He says, follow me. That's what a disciple was. It was a student and a follower walking in the steps of their Lord. And it has no room for this kind of wandering. I actually listened to a pastor one time give a message on, well, you know what? God just, he gives you a map. And you know, you just, whatever path you take is okay as long as you're going in that general direction. And I look back now and I go, that's not what the Bible says. Narrow is the road, and few follow it. Wide is the path of destruction. It's a perfect picture of that path between the towns in Zimbabwe. That path was only this wide. It was not wide enough for two people to walk safely on side by side. It was designed for one person to lead the way and take care of all the puff adders on the road. I don't know about you, I would not have wanted to be the lead person on that path. I do not like snakes at all, especially one that can strike in a quarter of a second. I'm not that fast. I would much prefer to have someone go before me, like Jesus, who is omniscient, he knows everything. He's omnipotent. He's stronger than that puff adder. And Jesus, I guarantee, was quicker. I would much rather have him in the lead. But there are some of us that we just go off the path, down, running. I don't know. Some people just run straight into destruction. Don't care. This is fun. Bam. God, why did you let that happen to me? Oh, I don't understand. God's like, I'm over here with the light. You ran off into the darkness, and you got bit by a puff adder. I told you to stay right here. Yeah, but I thought it was going to be okay. I thought you were going to come with me. No, I'm still back over here. I can see you, but you're not following the way that I laid out for you. Well, why don't you come and get me out of this mess? And then we go back into the light for a little while, and then we wander off onto the darkness again. And he says, your word is a lamp unto my feet. It lights my path. And you know what? If you don't know the word, you don't know how to use the lamp. What good is a lamp if you don't know how to turn it on? What good is a lamp if you don't know how to operate it? If you don't know the word of God, how do you walk in its light? That's why when you come to New Hope Christian Center, you are going to hear the word of God each and every Sunday. Our youth are going to hear the word of God preached. Why? Because they ain't going to hear it anywhere else. They're definitely not getting it in the school system if they go to a public school. In fact, their little minds are being filled with absolute garbage that for the most part is 180% against what is written in God's word. Oh no, you just choose your own path. No, you can do whatever is right. Whatever is true for you is true for you. It may not be true for someone else, but whatever is truth for you, that's your truth. You can go whichever way you want. You can do whatever it is that you want to do. The culture says it's okay. The Supreme Court says it's okay. So go ahead and do it. That which used to be wrong is now right. not according to what the scriptures say. And if you're a follower of Christ, we are to walk in his steps with him leading the way. Amen? Don't get me going. It's too late. 1 John 1, verse 5 through 6. This is the message we have heard from him, from Jesus, and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. There are a lot of people out there who call themselves Christians, who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, that the light is not in them. And they're lying to themselves. And there is a day of reckoning coming that is going to be terrifying. It reminds me of that verse in Matthew that says, you know what, Lord? They're standing before God on judgment day, and they're going, we cast out demons in your name. We healed the sick in your name. We did incredible things in your name. And God says, depart from me, you wicked people. I never knew you. To me, that is the most terrifying verse in all the scriptures. Because these people thought, according to their works, that they were good enough. And God goes, uh-uh. I mean, wouldn't you like, doesn't that sound like an incredible church? Casting out demons, healing the sick. There's some incredible things going on there. Supernatural things. But you notice what they said, the pronoun that they used? They said, we. We did these things. I was part of a group of people that did these things. I was there and I saw those things happening. There were a lot of people that followed Jesus that did not know him. There are a lot of people that followed just for the show, just for the miracles. And he rebuked them. It came down to, no, I never knew you. You never bothered to take the time to get to know me personally. You did all these things in my name, but we never had a relationship together. Depart from me. And that goes to teaching. That goes to bad doctrine. That's why the Bible says, watch your doctrine closely. You don't take what I say for granted. You go to the scriptures and look it up for yourself. Because I could sit up here and spin it to a way that sounds really good. There's a lot of pastors out there doing that. I call them the warm fuzzies. Everybody just feels so good when they walk out. Oh, I just love listening to hear him preach. I just feel so good. Yet you're not getting the meat of the Word of God. Now, there is warm fuzzies that comes with it. But the Word of God, it says it's useful for correcting, teaching, rebuking. There's no warm fuzzies in a rebuke. Who gets rebuked and goes, oh, thank you so much. I feel so much better. You look in the scriptures at a lot of the people that had encounters with Jesus, there wasn't a whole lot of warm fuzzies there. He did everything in love. But you don't go through and see the disciples, get behind me, Satan, when he says to Peter. And you don't read that, oh, he just called me Satan. Ooh, I'm so warm, fuzzy. No. The scriptures are not, for the most part, warm fuzzies. But you know what is? It's the message that Jesus Christ came. He died for us. He paid the price. And we have a place in eternity that we will spend with our Heavenly Father in the way that he originally designed things to happen. It is the hope that we have. There's your warm fuzzies. This other part that we have to live out here, I have warm fuzzies once in a while. I do. Once in a while, I do, and I'm going to pray for you. But I can honestly stand up here and say, I don't always have warm fuzzies. I get on the freeway, it is not warm fuzzy time. Dealing with a lot of people, not warm fuzzy time. So, but it's God's word. And you know what you can have? The peace of God. No matter what the circumstances are, when we're following in His footsteps, we're tucked in behind Him and we're following His footsteps, we have peace. There still may be some fear walking along that path and trusting God is not always the easiest thing to do. But we can have peace in those difficult times. A peace that surpasses all understanding. A peace that doesn't make sense. A peace that you shouldn't have peace in this situation right here. Well, you don't understand. I have God's Holy Spirit. And He didn't promise me that I'd never have difficulties or circumstances or heartache or pain or tears on this earth. But you know what He does say? For those who are faithful and persevere, there are no more puff adders. There are no more tears. There is no more suffering. What an awesome place to be. It's the hope that we have, and it is the lamp under our feet. As long as we are here on this earth, we need that illumination of our path. God says, I know the plans I have for you, the plans to prosper you. I have a path laid out. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. So I am willing to go before you. I sent my son on how to do it. All you got to do is follow in his footsteps. Jesus said the last thing, go and make disciples and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded. Why? Because he wants your path to be lit. Doesn't mean there's not going to be troubles along that path, but you know what? As long as he's there, he will lead you through it. He will lead you through it. We get into trouble when we get off the path, we walk in disobedience, and then we look up and go, God, where are you? He goes, I'm over here. This is where the light is. I am the truth. I am the light. There's no darkness in me. And he says, and if you claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. Amen? All right, Proverbs 4:24, we're going to keep plowing through Proverbs because there's a little bit of wisdom in here. And the thing is that if, as we go through these, some of them will pertain to you, some of them will not. But store them away. You may need some of these down the road a little bit. Some of you may look at this and go, ooh, wow, Jim, you're talking to me. Why are you talking to me today? It's not me. This is the Word of God. Don't kill the messenger. I'm just reading what it says. Proverbs 4:24 says, keep your mouth free of perversity and keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Keep your mouth free of perversity and keep corrupt talk far from your lips. 1 Peter 3, verses 9 through 12. And it says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called so that you might inherit a blessing. There's that word blessing again. We looked into that last week as far as the curses and the blessings. For whoever would love life and see good days. I don't know, do you like to have good days? I really like to have good days. Sometimes my tongue can keep me from having a good day. Sometimes other people's tongue keep me from having a good day. But he's saying, if you would love life and see good days, you must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And we're going to break that up a little bit. We're going to look at verse 9. It says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. I don't know about you, but when someone insults me, the first thing I want to do, bless them. Because I'm such an incredible man of God. No, that is not the first thing that pops into my head. And I'm quick-witted, which is not very good when you want to exchange insults. No, it's very good for me, not so much for the other person. But that's not what this is saying. So keeping your mouth free of perversity and corrupt talk, that's trading insults. Now, I know none of you have to worry about it, but every once in a while I do. I work with a bunch of guys that are not, they're not godly at all. And one of the ways that, as guys, of, you know, connecting, is you insult them. It's just, I was a baseball player. We did it all the time. You should have heard some of the things that come out of people's mouths when you play baseball. And you're talking about your teammates or the guy on the mound that should lose a few pounds or whatever. It's ruthless. But this says that's perverse and corrupt talk. And that we're not to repay evil with evil or insult with insult. Romans 12, verse 19 and 20. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Now that last part makes it easier for me to bless my enemy. Because I picture in my head heaping hot burning coals right on top of their head. And I don't think that's the way God intended this to be thought of. But it does make it easier. But God says, no, let me take care of it. If someone insults you, you don't have a right to insult them back as a child of God. Verse 11 says, they must seek peace and pursue it. Colossians 3:15, it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. As much as it is up to us, we are to keep the peace. And peace does not happen when someone insults you and you respond by insulting them back. As God's children, it says you must seek peace. It doesn't say you can if you want to. It doesn't say try. It says you must. We need to learn to tame the tongue and seek peace. And it says, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. This is talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. He says there shouldn't be that kind of stuff that goes on in the body of Christ. There is no place for it. Yet, unfortunately, it's one of the things that causes the most division in fellowships and churches, is the tongue. Well, did you hear what she said to me? She said blah, 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 blah. And then they go around and tell everybody that they know, hoping to get them to turn on the other person. And then you have this inner turmoil going on, all because they're not seeking peace and pursuing it as a righteous person. Verse 12 says, for the eyes of the Lord, I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. Says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. When we repay evil for evil, and when we trade insults back and forth with someone, we are actually doing evil in the eyes of the Lord according to his word. And it says, his eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. When we choose to do what's welling up in our own flesh, and we let that out, it says, according to this scripture, that God's ears are not attentive to our prayers. I don't know about you, but I want God to hear my prayers. I want him to hear them. I do not want him to reject them. And when I do these things, it says, his ears are not attentive to my prayers. Psalm 66, verses 17 and 18. It says, I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. He doesn't hear. His eyes are not on us when we walk in disobedience. His eyes and his ears are not attentive to us when we walk our own ways, when we're not walking in his steps. And some of you are probably saying, well, you know, Jim, that's pretty narrow-minded. It sounds like something that's very difficult. It all boils down to, do you trust him? Do you truly trust him as your Savior and as your Lord? See, everybody wants a Savior. It's the Lord part that is difficult. It's the giving up the reins of your heart and your mind over to him. It's trusting that he is taking you where you need to go. It's trusting that he's going to light your path. It's trusting that he's going to take care of all the garbage along the path. Do you trust him? See, I prefer the term follower of Christ to the term Christian, because the term Christian has become so watered down in our culture. But to be a follower of Christ is to walk in his steps. It's very restrictive. It goes against the very core of Jim's fleshly desires. But I know that he came so that I may have life and have it more abundantly. And that abundant life is on that path. Our culture says, take whatever path you want. My Bible says, I've already blazed it for you. I'm walking ahead. I've lit it up so you can see it. And I will bless you on that path. I don't know about you. I love being blessed by God. And he is the kind of heavenly father that loves to bless his kids. What kind of horrible parent doesn't like to bless their kids? But you know what? There were a few blessings that came down the road when my kids were disobedient. Very few. But when they were obedient and they were doing the things that I asked them to do, because I had their hearts in mind, I didn't want them to go down this road, because there's nothing but heartache down there. If they choose that road anyways, you're setting yourself up for fall. You're setting yourself up for heartache. You're setting yourself up for pain. But as a follower of Christ, he promises, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will always be there. All things are possible through him who gives me strength. He's already blazed that trail for us. We just have to be obedient and follow and allow his word to light our path. Amen? Amen. Amen. Please stand. You know, I was painting this picture of walking down this dark path and having it represent our life as a Christian. And it I was thinking it doesn't really portray a real good picture. I'm going to leave you with a warm fuzzy. And it's this. There's no greater feeling, no greater joy, no greater peace than knowing that you're walking as a follower of Jesus Christ. No greater feeling when God uses you to bless someone else, to help someone else. If they're going through a difficult time and God just gives you that perfect word, or it's just a word of encouragement, and having someone say, "Thank you, I needed that." Or just walking down the street and smiling at someone you don't even know. It blesses my heart. There's no greater thing than knowing that you're walking in His will. I've done all the other paths. Gone down, tried them all, just about. And they're all going to leave you with an emptiness in your heart. It'll be fun for a while. It'll be exciting for a while. But you get through the initial stage of it, and then you look back and you go, why do I have this hole? See, we all have that hole, a hole that only God can fill. He designed it so that He's the only one that fits in that spot. You can try any number of things to try to fill that void. And I tell you, it doesn't work. There's nothing greater than walking in His will. It's like when you're with your kids and everything's good. There are times when your kids, where things aren't always so good. But those days when you just have a great family day, everything seems to go well. That's what it's like to walk in His footsteps, following, tucked close in, because He takes care of all the stuff. He's just waiting for us to give it to Him. See, some of us are walking behind Him, but we're carrying all this baggage, all this crud. And the Holy Spirit is a pretty good Sherpa. He knows where He's going, and He can carry a lot of stuff. Some of y'all are carrying a lot of garbage with you. A lot of stuff that God says, no, let me take care of that. No, this is what I got to go through. This is, you know, I'm an Olsen, and this is one of the things that we have to bear. No, God, and God is a gentleman. He'll go, okay, you want to carry that crud, go ahead. I'm willing to take it from you, but I'm not going to grab it out of your hands. Let Him have it. Let go of those things. Because the thing is if we're walking behind Him and we have bitterness in our heart or unforgiveness in our heart, we're not walking in His footsteps. We're wandering a little off the path. We may see where His footsteps are, but He says, let go of those things. Unforgiveness, let it go. Bitterness, let it go. Because you can't walk in His footsteps carrying those things. I want everyone to just bow your heads. And if that's you today, you're doing your best to walk along that path, but there are certain things, and they're starting to pop up into your head right now, certain things that you know are not what God wants for you. It's not His best. It may be an attitude. Maybe it is unforgiveness. Maybe it is bitterness. Maybe it is some secret sin, whatever it is. Let this day be the day that you allowed God to rid you of it. He's here. He can do that. And if that's you, no matter what it is, I just want you to slip your hand up very quickly acknowledge it and put your hand back down. And as you lift your hands up, go, God, I want you to take this from me. I don't want this anymore. I don't want the burden of carrying this any longer. I'm tired of stumbling in the darkness because I'm carrying this with me. Make this your prayer. Lord, I am not able to let this go, but I am willing to let you take it from me. You need to begin in your mind's eye to take your clenched fists that are grasping whatever that is and just seeing your hands loosen up a little bit. Just letting go of that tight grip that's been there forever. Your hands will thank you. Your body will thank you. Your spirit will thank you. And you will walk no longer burdened or controlled by that thing. See it happen. See it happen. Speak it. Lord, I want this gone. I don't want this in my life any longer. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you've put your finger on my heart on this issue many, many times. Let this day be the day that you're rid of it. No more. Let it go. Just let it go. Go ahead and open your eyes. It's like that app, Let Go. Is it Let It Go, Let Go, whatever? People just grasping onto this thing. And it's like, yo, you got to let go of that thing. It's a bowling ball guy hanging off a cliff. It's hanging onto it. You know, it's like, no, just let it go. Do you really need it? That bitterness that you've just been dragging around forever. Do you really need it? No, it's not good for you. It's not good for your marriage. It's not good for your relationships. It's not good for your attitude. It does not represent a person who was a follower of Jesus Christ. Get rid of that garbage. Get rid of it. And it's amazing. I don't know if you've ever carried a heavy pack around. My wife used to watch The Biggest Loser or something like that. And they would lose weight, 50, 60, 75 pounds. And later on during the show, they would give them packs with the whatever weight that they lost. They would give them a backpack and they would fill it with 50 pounds. If they lost 50 pounds up to that point, they would give it and they would have to walk around with that all day long. And they were amazed at how heavy that extra weight was because they had lost it. See, before they had lost it, they just walked around. This is normal. This is my normal. Some of you are walking around, this bitterness in me, this that gnaws at me, that eats at me, that's causing all these physical problems or whatever, that's my normal. That's all I know. That's all I've ever known. This is my lot in life. I've been dealt this hand and I'm going to have to play it. And God's like, nuh-uh. And when you've been delivered from those things, you'll look back and go, why did I waste so much stinking time allowing that to control my life? It's so much better on this other side. Why didn't I do that a long time ago? Just get rid of it. Get rid of it. And just say, and that's what the greatest thing. It's so easy to say that prayer, Lord, I pray that you would take this from me. The hard part is unclenching your fingers. Because it's all you've known. It's your comfort zone. It's your place. Let it go. I just want to start singing the Elsa song. Some of you don't know the Elsa song? Oh, please. I'm not going to sing it. No. You've not earned the right to hear me sing that song. God is a God of deliverance. God is a God of second chances. If you're a golfer, he's a God of mulligans. He is a God that is full of grace. He is full of mercy. He is full of all the good that we have on this earth is because of God. It is his love that he has for us. What an incredible place to be. The psalmist says, what is man that you care about him? If you look down deep into your own heart and you see all the garbage and all the crud and all the ugh, and you go, God, why do you love me? He goes, I created you. I love you. I love you no matter what. And you know what? There's your warm fuzzy. No matter how rotten we are, no matter how many times we mess up, when we are washed in the blood, he doesn't see that anymore. He sees righteousness. He sees perfection. He doesn't see the crud. So stop walking around like you're still got crud on you. He's delivered you. He's paid the price. He can't go back up on the cross and do it again. He's done it once. He said, it is finished. I'm done. No more. You don't need any more. It's us that needs to trust and accept that and walk in what he has for us. And that means following closely behind him. Amen? There's your warm fuzzy. You're welcome. And let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word because it brings life. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. When we accept your gift, we have access to that freedom. We have access to the power of the living God. We have access to the power of the very person of the Trinity that raised Jesus Christ from the dead because he dwells in me. Walk in it. Relish in it. Thank him for it. Live with an appreciative heart. Instead of focusing on the crud, help us, Lord, to focus on what you've already done in our lives. The price that you have already paid. The hope that we have for the future. It's all because of you. We thank you, Heavenly Father. Help us to become students of your word and followers of your son. In this we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. Have a good week.